Dan, this is going to be very, very interesting. We have a special guest that is going to be joining us, and I would say a different guest.
Well, not so much different, Brad. I think the website is different and that it provides a better, I think, spin on what's going on in Connecticut. Andrew Louts and Michael Prosciutto, both Connecticut natives, have started a website, and I would urge people to visit the website, reclaimct.com, reclaimct.com, with a mission to, quote, reclaim Connecticut with coverage that runs counter to the mainstream, and that's how they report it on their website. And joining us now is the president of the website. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Andrew Louts. Andrew, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Great for having to have you here. And as Dan just mentioned, it's about time. Now, what is the kind of a plan that you have that can get right through to what you want to do? That's what I'm concerned about, and I think you can do it. But you know, this state is about to lose it all, as far as I'm concerned, and we need some help.
Well, give us the idea behind the founding of the website, Andrew.
Sure. So Reclaim Connecticut, we started, Mike and I started it as the first media company covering Connecticut politics and policy from center-right and conservative perspectives. We knew that conservatives in Connecticut have candidates and issues that they care about. They have passion for the issues facing our state, and they're concerned and frustrated. But they didn't have a trusted platform for news that caters to them, and they didn't have a place to view, react to, and discuss the news. And Reclaim Connecticut offers that for the first time.
When did you start the website?
We started it in January 2017, so we're a little over a year old.
And how's it gone? I mean, what's the reaction been?
It's been fantastic. In our first year, we made over 1 million impressions on Facebook. Almost 100,000 different people went to the website in its first year, and that's all on organic growth. We're right now a very low-budget, low-cost site, and we knew that people in Connecticut were frustrated and concerned with the direction of the state, but I think even we were surprised by the organic growth that we've seen in the last year.
You know, I think what many people think about in this state, it's getting better, but it's not there yet, is that the Democrats just control it. It's just like that the Republicans don't exist. However, now it's starting to break through, and do you have any plans on this?
Well, we want to bring as much news as fast as possible to our readers, and one way that we do that is I think we've become a go-to source for many of the gubernatorial candidates running this year, some of the legislators in the state, and other important voices. We do these interviews as often as we can, and so what we're trying to do is we're trying to close the gap between voters who are frustrated and concerned in Connecticut and the people who want to represent them. And so the best way that we can do that is by reporting what's happening with the Molloy administration and in the legislature, but also letting our readers hear from people who want to be their next governor, be their next lieutenant governor, and all of these other statewide offices.
Well, let's take a look at the lead story on your website today, reclaimct.com. Headline, Molloy flip-flops on marijuana. Talk about that.
Sure. So this was actually an article written by my business partner, Mike Prosciutto, and what Mike found buried in this budget document from the governor is that he seemed to express an openness, or his administration did, to legalizing and taxing marijuana in the state. And we found it most notable that Molloy had been against this for years and years and had frequently spoken out against this. And now that there's a possibility it could be legalized and taxed, he seems open to that. But, you know, what we've been trying to shine a spotlight on over the last few days is not only items like that, but also this toll proposal and all of the other tax proposals that the governor has made, because, again, this is what our readers are most concerned about.
The tolls are driving Dan and myself crazy. I cannot believe that we're going to have tolls.
Well, and we did an analysis. We did an analysis on our site just using the governor's own estimates of the cost of this. And if you count these tolls as a tax, it's effectively going to be $4 to $5 billion in tax increases over 10 years. And our readers are upset about that. They're taxed out, and they know that Connecticut drivers and Connecticut residents are going to be paying most of these tolls.
Now, to be fair, Andrew, because I know that my friends in the mainstream media who might be listening to this will say, and it is true, I mean, I read it in The Current, I read it on the liberal website, ctmirror.net, that in fact, Malloy made no secret of suggesting that for future revenue purposes, the legislature ought to look at legalizing marijuana, even though he's not for legalizing marijuana. So it's not as if the mainstream media didn't report it, but you chose to play up that aspect of the story, correct?
Sure, sure. And that was just, you know, one focus. We tried to put up as much content as we can throughout the day because, of course, it's an extremely busy time in the state, and it's going to be even busier today with the legislature starting their session and with the governor giving his budget address.
Now, you had a couple of great stories, and we'll get to it after we do the sports and traffic, that the mainstream media totally ignored, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Andrew, hang in there. We're going to take a sports and traffic break.
Okay, it is a quarter after. Stay with us. Stay with us, my friends. Well, the Devils lost to Ottawa last night by a score of 5-3. The Bruins beat Detroit 3-2, and the Bruins will face the Rangers, who are having some problems this year, at 8 o'clock tonight at the Garden. NBA, the Celtics lost to Toronto 111-91. The Nets lost to Houston 123-113, and the Nets will face Detroit tonight at 7 o'clock. And the Knicks, they lost to Milwaukee 103-89. Now, the big story football-wise, Josh McDaniels, who was going, he said he was going to coach at Indianapolis, take on the Colts, has changed his mind and is staying with the Patriots. He's going home. So that is quite a story, absolutely. And a couple of history notes here. Some of you Joe DiMaggio fans, 1949 became the first $100,000 a year baseball player for the New York Yankees. And also, on this date in 1964, Cassius Clay converted to Islam and changed his name to Muhammad Ali. Okay, that's sports. Let's check the numbers at 17 minutes after 7. The nightly 937. The play for 1840. Cash 5, 6, 20, 21, 24, 27. Powerball. Tonight's jackpot, $165 million. Classic Lotto, Friday's jackpot, $1.5 million. And Mega Millions on Friday, the jackpot, $136 million. And it's time at 18 minutes after 7 to check our traffic, brought to you by the one and only Bouvier Insurance. If you need insurance, there's nobody else in my book but Bouvier. And there's nobody else in the book either when it comes to doing the traffic. And here she is, Cindy Waitman. Cindy, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad. And we are seeing some slowdowns out there on Route 8 North and exit 36 from a minor two-car crash. It's on the on-ramp in Waterbury, 84 eastbound's busy. Exit 23 through 25A, more tides from Park Road into I-91. Westbound 84 is building past the Bulkley Bridge. Southbound 91, tap of the brakes from Jennings Road into I-84. No reports of any issues on Wilbercross Parkway. 9 North is doing all right through the Aragoni Bridge stoplights. At Bradley International, we have some flight delays and cancellations ahead of the storm, so check with your carrier. And Metro North is on or close to schedule. This report is brought to you by the Positive Coaching Alliance. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 7:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
19 minutes after 7 o'clock. Yes, we have been talking a great deal. A great deal about touch points. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Touchpoints Rehab, what an innovation company this is. That's what they are. personalized programs designed to accelerate the recovery process. Now, let me just give you some examples. Touchpoints Rehab Services include skilled nursing, orthopedic and surgical rehab, outpatient therapy, home care and discharge planning, and a comprehensive congestive heart failure program in partnership with St. Francis Hospital. I'll never forget when Dan and I visited the Bloomfield facility. They're in Bloomfield, Manchester, East Windsor, and Farmington, and then in Manchester. Yes, now in Manchester, a Veterans Rehabilitation Center offering veterans short-term, long-term, and behavioral health care. All you have to do is call a number, put it right up there on the refrigerator, 860-812-0788. 860-812-0788. TouchpointsRehab.com, that is the website. Remember now, Manchester, Bloomfield, East Windsor, and Farmington, part of the iCare Management family of facilities. Just a great, great company. Dan?
All right, Brad. Back in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is the president of the website, and it's been around for about a year, ReclaimCT.com, and that's Andrew Louts talking about the stories on the website. Finally, stories out there that the mainstream media just isn't covering, perhaps because the stories are too centered or to the right. And Andrew, one of the stories that made the website that I didn't realize was out there was this double standard by the media. I know the double standard is out there by the media, but the double standard of making a big deal anytime conservative speakers are on a campus in this state, such as UConn, but no mention of ex-commie Angela Davis speaking at the University of Hartford. How about talking about that?
Sure. So that was another article written by my business partner, Mike. And Mike had just pointed out that there was a lot of outrage and a lot of concern over Ben Shapiro, who's a conservative commentator speaking at UConn. I believe UConn offered counseling services to some of their students for this conservative speaker coming to campus. But there was barely a peep about this speaker, Angela Davis. And so Mike wanted to point out the double standard, and I think our readers reacted very strongly to that double standard.
I mean, people need to know she won the Lenin Peace Prize from the Soviet Union in 1979, and in 1980 and 1984, unsuccessfully, thankfully, ran on the Communist Party ticket for Vice President of the United States.
Yeah, I remember. You know, so I thought it was a misprint.
It's quite a biography.
Yeah. And not a peep, really not a peep in the mainstream media. Another story you had, I thought it was great, is you wrote a story about a Chris Murphy tweet after the 2015 State of the Union address. Talk about that.
Sure. So our readers, I don't think any of our readers expect Chris Murphy to come around to the president or the Republican leaders in Congress anytime soon. But they do expect, I think they do expect their representatives and their senators to work across the aisle. So Chris Murphy actually tweeted about working across the aisle, but in 2015, when President Obama was in charge of the White House, and he tweeted after the President Obama's State of the Union and made this clarion call to bipartisanship. Well, his response to the 2018 State of the Union, his first response was, ugh. And so we just pointed out that this was a very different response, and that Senator Murphy doesn't seem to be interested in reaching across the aisle in this era.
You know, I have never believed, I never did, way back before he ever ran for the Senate, I never thought that he was to the left of the left of the left, but he is.
And I think that one other article that we did recently on the site is that we actually noticed, so Morning Consult, which is a publication based in D.C., does quarterly approval ratings for senators, and they do all 100 senators. And Chris Murphy and Richard Blumenthal have actually seen a serious net drop in their approval rating over the last year. And, you know, of course, there are any number of reasons why that could be the case, but what we've seen from our readers' reaction on our site and to our posts is that people are frustrated with sort of the posture that Senators Blumenthal and Murphy have taken in the last 2 years, and I think that that's reflected in that net drop.
Well, this is interesting. You're talking about the approval rating of the senators here in the state?
Yes, that's correct. Senator Murphy actually dipped below 50% for the first time in a while.
Wow.
In these new quarterly approval ratings. And Senator Blumenthal, both Senators Blumenthal and Murphy saw a significant drop in their net approval rating. So who approves of them versus who disapproves?
I mean, is there any chance, Andrew, that Chris Murphy somehow, and I know Matt Corey is a Republican who wants to run against Murphy, any chance of a Republican getting elected to the United States Senate from Connecticut?
Well, I think it's an uphill battle, but as you mentioned, Matt Corey is running. Dominic Rapini is another candidate running for U.S. Senate on the Republican side. We've spoken to both of them and have had interviews with both of them on our site. They're both sort of hitting the ground running. They've got an uphill battle, but I think that they both believe that it's possible.
Now, as far as your publication is concerned, what you get out, how far do you get it out there? I mean, is it heavy as far as delivery goes?
So we have a very passionate base, and it's growing every day. I think I mentioned earlier that we made about 1 million impressions on Facebook last year, and Facebook is a key vehicle for us reaching Connecticut voters and again, people who are concerned and frustrated with the direction of the state. But obviously we have the website, ReclaimCT.com. That's where all of our content goes up. Facebook and Twitter play a key role in sort of emphasizing that. We also have a network of allies and supporters who often share our content. So we found that the megaphone has definitely been amplified and expanded in the last year since we started.
What about, Andrew, the content? How often do you update the content on the website?
We try to do 2 or 3 posts on the site a day. We've had over 500 in our first year. It's just Mike and I creating content for the site, so we're a small operation right now, but we find that we're able to get at least 2 to 3 updates on the site every day.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee, I mean, as you look into your crystal ball, how do you see the nomination for the Republican Party gubernatorial race shaping up? How do you see it narrowing, let's say?
Well, it's certainly a big field. I think that there are a lot of accomplished candidates out there. As I mentioned, we've talked to most of them. I think we've talked to 9 of the 11 major gubernatorial candidates on ReclaimCT.com. We've done interviews with them. I think it's going to be a contentious race, and our goal on the site is to do as many interviews with these candidates as possible between now and the May convention, between now and the August primary, so that voters in Connecticut who are going to vote in the Republican primary can get as much information as possible about the people who want to be their next governor.
Do you get a read, for example, when you talk about the governor, when you talk about the Democrats, do you get a read where there is a chance? For example, there are 3 Democrats that sometimes will go the other way, and they could throw it to the Republican Party. Do you think that has a chance of happening?
Well, I think one thing our readers have made clear, and I'm sure they're making it clear to their representatives and senators as well, that anything that significantly increases taxes or even moderately or minorly increases taxes in the state is going to be a no-go this year and, I think, for the significant future going forward. So I think as long as people in the legislature, people in the governor's office, the governor himself, are proposing higher taxes, are proposing tolls, I think that our readers and voters in general are going to reject that because they're very concerned about the high tax burden in the state.
Well, there's so much to cover. This is a great year to be doing this, certainly. And now there's even a story out there, Andrew, that the Republicans, at least some of the Republicans, might challenge Governor Malloy's nomination for the next Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court, Andrew McDonald, and that'll make for an interesting story.
It certainly will, and we plan to cover that going forward. I think that's something that our readers would be very interested in hearing more about. Anything Malloy is obviously piques the interest of our readers.
Well, again, it was great having you on, and I just hope that you can come back, because these are the things that we've got to start. We cannot go on, absolutely cannot go on like we are. And the sooner we recognize it, the better the state of Connecticut's going to be.
And we will continue to follow the website, reclaimct.com. Andrew, thanks very much for spending some time with us.
Thanks so much, Brad and Dan.
Take care. Bet.